Well, appreciate each one that's here. I thought there'd probably just be a few of us this morning. Anyway, there's a few, but there are a few more than what I thought. I'd like to look at some scriptures in the book of Jude. And we'll read starting at verse 3. It says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire." Now, there's a very parallel scripture found in 2 Peter, and it's very interesting to note how closely these scriptures read in likeness. But I want to start at 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. It says, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways." Pernicious means highly injurious. "By reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now for a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness, to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, waxed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man, dwelling among them, and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished." I was thinking about the warnings here that we have to keep faith, to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. and to be what God is calling us to be. Now I want to just revert back to Jude 4 just for a moment. It says, there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Now, I believe I can say that in a national sense, there are people that are accepted in years gone by would have been condemned as ungodly. There's things that are loosed in our society. There's things that are happening in our world today that in years gone by, when the society was greater godliness and more godliness, there was condemnation on the things that they were doing. And he said to earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. I want to talk about this scripture a little bit this morning in the fifth verse about God sparing not. In 2 Peter, the second chapter, it says, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly." I believe these two verses, verses 4 and 5, are referring to the same context, the same, pretty close to the same event. And I believe verses 6, 7, and 8 are talking about the same event, Sodom. Verse 4 and 5, I believe, is referring to the flood. And verses 6, 7, 8 is referring to the destruction of Sodom. And we know these are destructions that happened on people because of ungodliness and wickedness that was in the world. I want to notice angels. The word angel is not always an angelic being, as we think of angels that we don't see with our natural eyes. In Revelations, it talks about to the angel of the church of Ephesus. The letter was written to the angel of the church of Ephesus, and that's not to a literal angel, but it was to the leader of the congregation of the Ephesian church. And so forth in all those seven churches, it was written to the angel, but it was actually to a person. An angel is another word for messenger. Actually, the Greek diaglot on these scriptures uses the word messenger. But they were messengers people that God had called. They were messengers for God. They were to teach and preach God's word. Now I want to go to the book of Genesis, the sixth chapter. In Genesis, the sixth chapter, I want to start reading at the first verse. It said, "And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his day shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, They bare them children to them, and the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. And then he goes on in verse 5, and he talks about, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now I want to notice, this scripture is talking about, he said, the sons of God saw the daughters of men. There is a distinction here. Adam Clark recognizes this distinction, but it was like they began to, instead of marrying in the Lord or marrying in faith, they just looked out and they saw daughters that pleased them, that were beautiful to look upon. I would like to read you the Septuagint rendering of this. It says, and it came to pass when men began to be numerous upon the earth, and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God, having seen the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, took to themselves wives of all whom they chose. And the Lord God said, my spirit shall certainly not remain among these men forever, because they are flesh, but their days shall be 120. Now the giants were upon the earth in those days, and after that, when the sons of God were wont to go in to the daughters of men, they bore children to them. Those were the giants of old, the men of renown. So the sons of God are marrying the daughters of men, and it's not talking about the physical giants as we think of, but it's talking about the leaders. It's talking about people that had power and influence. And I don't know why it's that way, but I know, you know, when they came into the land, or was going into the land of Canaan, it was some of the leaders that had committed whoredoms with the Moabites. It was some of the chief men, their sons went in into the tent. I'm not saying why that's the case, but it seems like there's sometimes a boldness there and a lack. But they go on, and he mentions those were giants of old, the men of renown. And noticing chapter 5, the previous chapter here before Genesis 6, we notice in verse 7, Seth was born unto Adam, and he was replacing Abel was killed, and they had another son, and we know Abel was a righteous man. Abel loved the Lord. He pleased the Lord. His sacrifice pleased God. And Eve said that she had given, there's another son here in place of Seth. In verse 26, well, let me see if I can find it here. Oh, verse 26 of chapter 4, I'm sorry. It says, and to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. So when we look at this lineage here, this is the lineage of Christ. And it, you can find it in, I believe, Matthew and Luke, but it's the lineage of Christ. It was a There was a godly line here. There was some godly influence. Verse 24, Enoch, it said, "And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." And we know that verse 27, Methuselah, he was blessed to live the longest, I believe, 969 years. And in verse 32, we find Noah was born. And Noah lived, and we know Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah's a righteous man. I believe in these scriptures are teaching us that there was a falling away. There was a falling away from the things that they knew and understood to be right, that they understood to be true. They were the leaders. They were people of renown. They were people of influence that gave the wrong example. They just married into the daughters, and we know the danger of that. You know, our desire is to marry in the Lord, to find someone the Lord's pleased with, someone that God can help us make heaven our home. You know, it's to have someone against that. I mean, it's hard. There's difficulties without having someone to pull you away. But we've seen the influence on Solomon when he was old. His heart was turned away from the Lord. And we see here a falling away that took place. Because right after that, after it talked about the sons of men going into the daughters, the sons of God going into the daughters of men, in verse 5 it said, God saw the wickedness of man, that it was very great. There was a diluting, there was a falling away. And the scriptures, I believe that's happened many, many times in society. It seems like when the ball gets rolling for evil and wickedness, it affects people. It has an influence on people. When evil becomes so powerful and it becomes so wicked that sometimes people give up their faith in God and their hope and their trust because it just seems like they're overwhelmed by evil things. There's been a falling away. It's happened different times through the scriptures. Thessalonians talks about before the coming of the Lord, there would be a falling away. I believe there's a falling away in our society, in our time now. You know, our young people, they just grow up right now. But when you talk to those previous that have gone before us, those that are older, you see a digression. You see a downward. And I don't want this to be a discouraging message, but I want us to, because I believe where sin abounded, grace can abound too, and much more abound. God can help us to be saved, I believe. But we're naive to think that there's not an influence, an onslaught, a tidal wave of influence that we're of faith that we're fighting against, the pressures of darkness and evil, the pressures of affliction, the pressures of things that are coming against us. It's easier, I should say, for people to give up faith and to give up their hold upon God. I want to look also in back in 2 Peter. That's why Jude was saying to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Second Peter is one of those ones. Let's see. 2 Peter, it says, if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness. I don't believe that angels, they're not flesh and blood like us. I don't believe they're tempted with sin. I believe temptation comes to us in the flesh because we don't see the spiritual realm. We don't see the source of the temptation. Angels are spiritual beings. I don't believe they're tempted. In Jesus, one place, In his prayer, he said, pray that God's will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. I believe God's will is always done in heaven. I believe it's when His Word goes out, things happen and things change. I mean, His Word, His will is accomplished in heaven in a perfect way. But on earth, it's different. On earth, there's temptations. On earth, there's things that we struggle with. But it says, delivered them into chains of darkness. And some of these scriptures kind of seem maybe a little mysterious or mystic, but I think of the verse where Jesus talked about, walk in the light while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. When we fail to live up to what God is wanting us and where He's leading us and what He wants us to do, when we fail to live up to that knowledge and that understanding, we go into darkness. When we do not walk in the light, we'll go into darkness. It doesn't matter how intellectual we are. It doesn't matter how long we've been around. When we fail to respond to God and follow truth and righteousness, we will go into darkness. Our hearts will be darkened. And Jesus mentioned that. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. Said, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, the preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. And then verse 9, I wanted to get that. It says, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. You know, I know when you read in the Old Testament, it talks about the just man perishing. It talked about the righteous man perishing. I know it looks like evil goes free. Sometimes it looks like evil is unpunished. But I want us to remember this verse here. There's coming a day. There's coming a time. Sometimes it's in this life, and sometimes it may be at the end of this life. But God knows how to reserve the unjust. He knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. And it talked about Lot. And you remember the predicament that Lot was in? He got in a lot of trouble by... He looked out and he saw the plain of Jordan was well watered like the Garden of Eden. It just looked good to him. You know, those cities had a reputation. They had a reputation. And it said Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom. But it still calls Lot a righteous man. Lot was vexed with the deeds. And when I think about God's mercy towards Lot, when the angels came to, or visitors, whoever it was, they were probably in human form or looked like humans. He asked them and said, do you have any here that we're going to destroy the city? And so Lot went to his sons-in-laws. He went to people. He went to his daughters, his sons-in-laws, and told them, the Lord's going to destroy this city. And it said he was as one that was mocked. They didn't believe. And while they lingered, they grabbed Lot and pulled him out of the city. That is great mercy. And the Lord I want to encourage us that God can deliver us in this present evil society. I believe God can deliver us out of temptation. I believe He can keep us. I believe He can preserve us and help us to be everything that He wants to be. But we do have warnings to contend for the faith and recognize there is a falling away. There's a falling away from righteousness and godliness. And Lord, help us today to hold on. The congregations in Revelations, different places, He told them, He said, hold fast what you have. The things that you believe, things that you've gotten from God, hold on to them. Don't let them go. Hold fast to those things. In one place He said, you've got a little strength. Hold fast. Hold on to God. Hold on to His will for your life and His way. And Lord, help us today to be faithful. I believe we're living in the end times too. I believe there's coming a judgment. God judged the world with water. He destroyed the world with water. And Peter, here in this next chapter, in the third verse, he mentions how it's going to be destroyed by fire this next time. Seeing that all these things, verse 11, these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we according to His promise look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. So let's be encouraged this morning. I'm thankful that we have a hope that Christ has given us of eternal life. And I'm thankful that we have a hope that He's able to protect us. He's able to preserve us, to reserve and deliver the godly out of temptation. He's able to help us today. And I thank God for that keeping grace. I remember when I first started out as a young Christian, I began reading all the old books. I read What the Bible Teaches and just a lot of the old different books. And I heard of D.O. Teasley and the things that happened to him. And I remember feeling a little overwhelmed. If they didn't make it, If they fell away, how am I gonna make it through? But you know, the Lord can help us if we'll walk humbly. If we'll seek Him and put Him first in our lives. If we'll correct our wrongs, correct our mistakes, be diligent to keep our heart soft and tender before Him. You know, the Lord, I believe, will make a way for us. He'll see us through. And I appreciate, but the Scripture does say, it says, if the godly scarcely shall be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? And to me, it just means that there is so much temptation. There's so many influences. There's so many things that can drag us down, but God is able to help us. That other verse talks about He will with the temptation make a way of escape that we might be able to bear it. So Lord, help us today to contend for the faith that was once delivered in the saints. Let's root our heart and life in the Scriptures, follow the Scriptures, believe in the Scriptures, trust in the Scriptures. Timothy brings out that that's going to be our salvation, taking heed to what the Bible teaches and following that. Appreciate your attention this morning. Pray for me.